is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, back from his long travels. And we're very pleased and privileged to speak to Congressman Richie Torres of 15 New York. That's the South Bronx. Most importantly, the congressman is a member of the Committee on Financial Services, as well as the vice chair of the Committee on Homeland Security. Congressman, we go immediately to the very strong headlines in Israel and in the United States about BDS and Ben & Jerry's ice cream. This struck me as particularly strange in the summertime, but in any event, it's very serious business. We read that the CEO of Ben & Jerry's parent company, Unilever, is seeking to distance Unilever from the ice cream maker's decision to stop its sales in occupied Palestinian territories. What was your first thought, Congressman, when you heard about Ben & Jerry's being in this fashion so hateful? Good evening to you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I mean, I consider BDS to be an insidious form of anti-Semitism, a poisonous movement. It's just one of many examples of the anti-Semitic double standard leveled against Israel. And any company that legitimizes BDS, as Ben & Jerry's has done, should be ashamed of itself and should be held accountable in the marketplace. So I'm going to rethink my choices about which ice cream I'm going to consume as an American consumer.
In many states, they have passed the legislation, BDS, I think 35 states. Do you see that this action is going to trigger the kind of reaction that we have seen just in the last 24 hours since it came up? And coming within the climate that you as a vice chair of the Committee on Homeland Security see in the rise of hate crimes and divisiveness and the activities from hate groups around the country?
Look, companies like Ben & Jerry's, which insist on delegitimizing Israel, have to come to grips with their role in inciting hatred against the Jewish community. Right? The two are closely connected, and we have to speak out against the decision that Ben & Jerry's made. We have to speak out against the BDS movement because it's poisonous and provocative to the point of inciting violence. And that's not a theoretical concern. We saw an outbreak of anti-Semitic violence, especially in the month of May.
But can I just ask, you've been very involved about the internet. The ADL documented 17,000 tweets in 1 week with the phrase Hitler was right and variations. What about enforcement on the terms of service and on social media and holding them to account for this kind of rhetoric?
Look, we have to hold the platforms accountable. These tech companies have an obligation to ensure that there's no tolerance for hate speech. Twitter in particular has become a cesspool of anti-Semitism. As you pointed out, not only did you have the hashtag Hitler was right, you also had the hashtag COVID-1948. And if big tech companies continue to turn a blind eye to anti-Semitism, then we should consider re-examining Section 230, which grants some protection from liability, safe harbor against liability. So I think we should hold these big tech companies accountable.
Congressman, the puzzle here is where this comes from. Malcolm and I grew up most entirely in the 20th century, and there was no doubt what the problem was with anti-Semitism. It was associated with monsters who'd been defeated by the greatest generation, our parents. However, here in the 21st century, I puzzle if the young people make that connection when they hear about anti-Semitism. Do you believe they do?
It's not clear to me. You know, I worry that college campuses in particular have indoctrinated the next generation of Americans with a hatred for Israel. And, you know, anti-Semitism has many manifestations. One of them is anti-Zionism. And I fear that anti-Zionism is increasingly becoming the prevailing sentiment within the progressive movement. And the root cause, in my opinion, is college campuses.
And do you find, though, that the universities can be held accountable? You have Title VI legislation under the Trump administration. They moved on it. This administration said they would uphold it as well. to get the message that we're not limiting free speech. We're not saying people can't criticize policies of Israel, but this is something more fundamental, as you very rightly pointed out, that it goes to the right of Israel to exist, it goes to the right of Jews to exist, that there has to be some way to enforce the existing laws and to set a standard, because it works against America, and it doesn't stop with Jews. It may start with them, but every group becomes vulnerable then.
Look, we in the federal government should take the position that we're not going to subsidize anti-Semitic indoctrination masquerading as instruction. Right? If you're not educating your students, if you're simply indoctrinating them with a hatred for Israel, with a hatred for the Jewish community, that's not something that the federal government should subsidize. We should cut off funding, period.
John, if we have time, maybe we could go a little bit to the questions of the recent conflict in Gaza, and how the congressman gauges the congressional commitment to maintaining Israel's strategic and military edge, especially given the appearance, at least, of America's military withdrawal from the region.
And I mentioned, Congressman, that there were rockets fired from Lebanon within these last days that suggest, again, that Hezbollah's more than 100,000 rockets could be launched, dwarfing what Gaza's Hamas did. What are your thoughts about the conflict in and around Israel and the support in the U.S.?
Look, no country in the world faces a more volatile region than Israel. It's surrounded not only by Hamas, but by Hezbollah, which, as you pointed out, has more missiles than all NATO countries combined, with the exception of the United States. And we have to ensure that Israel has the funding that it needs from the United States, the missile defense systems that it needs to defend itself, because Israel is the greatest, not only one of the greatest friends of the United States, but the single greatest stabilizing force in the Middle East. Without Israel, Iran would have no counterweight in the Middle East. Iran would take it over overnight. So we have a strategic national security interest in ensuring that Israel is strong enough to defend itself.
But what we saw recently in the conflict was the role of Iran, as you have pointed out in the past, in fomenting regional instability and hostility, and through the weapons, funding, training, et cetera. With this background, how do you see us moving ahead then on the attempts to rapprochement with Iran, especially in Vienna, where it's hard to tell whether the talks are moving ahead or not, but Iran is certainly moving ahead?
Look, I am deeply skeptical about Iran. I see it as one of the most malevolent regimes in the world. I was skeptical about the original premise of the JCPOA, which held that Iran would moderate over time. There's no evidence that that's remotely true. And I would have real concerns about an agreement that focuses narrowly on temporary denuclearization to the exclusion of everything else. It seems to me the right kind of agreement would have to address the totality of Iran's behavior, would have to address aggression in cyberspace, regional aggression in the Middle East, state sponsorship of terrorism, violations of human rights, ballistic missiles, and a permanent end to the nuclear program. All of those issues have to be encompassed within the scope of any agreement that arises between the United States and Iran.
And Congressman, 30 seconds. Are your thoughts shared by your colleagues in Congress, generally speaking, that Iran is a predator state?
I suspect that there's a general recognition that Iran is a malevolent country or regime, has a malevolent regime. But I would say the vast majority of Democrats support a JCPOA 2.0. So my criticisms of JCPOA are in the minority.
Well, it's a very healthy minority because it likes Haagen-Dazs, right, Malcolm? Right? Congressman Richie Torres, 15 New York, South Bronx, member of the Committee on Financial Services, and he's the vice chair of the Committee on Homeland Security, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor.